Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for today's message is recorded in Paul's second letter to Timothy, the third chapter, verses 14 and 15. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. This is our text. Brothers and sisters in Christ, Stephen King has called the Fox series 24 scary. And this last weekend, Jack Bauer returned in that TV series and once again joined as an agent the war against terrorism on United States ground. And fans of that program in the weeks ahead will follow his actions during one 24-hour day each week, ticking off one additional hour. In the last series, a nuclear bomb is exploded right in the middle of a large western city in California. And as the mushroom cloud rises up above, you know that we are living in perilous times. And what makes that scary is because it could happen. And as you know, the World Trade Towers was a symbol for the terrorists and came down, and so they'd like to cause to come up something like a mushroom cloud in the Mall of America, because the Mall of America is, again, a symbol. So this is pretty close to home. This morning's text is part of a letter of Paul to Timothy, where a few verses before he had written about perilous times. In fact, he says, "But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come." And then he goes on to describe the nature of those times. But the nature of those times is slightly different than what we've been talking about, and yet it's very closely related. In fact, it's closer to us. It's about the terror of the effects of sin in our lives. And this prophetic note is one that Paul wants each one of us to examine and to make sure that we're not in this text. And yet, by our very nature, we're all implicated. He says, "For men in these last days will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God." And now listen to this. "Having a form of godliness, and yet denying its power." These words that I've just read, precede the text that we have today, and they really provide the contrast and the context for the words "for you" that begins our text. What about you? What about us? Far worse than the mushroom clouds that can rise above is the coming judgment of God over these sins that are described here. Headstrong, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. It's real easy to be religious and spiritual and yet not have God. Take a look at America. We have spirituality all around us of various forms. This is how all of us are, according to our sinful nature, living in a world of hatred, of violence, of assault, of rape, pornography, all around us, tugging at our own hearts, murder, divorce, sexual perversion, perilous times that really are nagging at the soul of each one of us, the pursuit of pleasure that describes the nation in which we live. And hell is the ultimate perilous destination in which all of us are heading without Christ. If we pursue those sins and turn away from God, we are without Christ and without hope. Am I wearing a veneer of religion? Or do I have the real thing? Those are the kinds of questions that Paul's words cause us to ask about ourselves. But you, Paul continues, must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. Paul, writing under inspiration of the Holy Spirit's divine psychology, places repentant followers of Christ, though, in another category. He wants us to repent of those sins, but he wants us to think of ourselves differently than that. Against the habit of a world grounded in sin, Paul writes us into another story, into another habit, into the habit of faith, into the habit of the Word. By saying, "But you must continue in the things which you have learned," he sends us back to the compelling message of the gospel, to Scripture, back to the same message of forgiveness many of us have known since childhood. We live in a world of fools, disobedient fools, who are caught up in their own predispositions, following after their own pleasure. But Paul reminds us that God has called us out of this foolish, perilous world in which we're living to the loving world of God's Son, Jesus Christ. And that's exactly the opposite of the pattern of this world. Just think about all of those things I read previously. Jesus was not arrogant, dishonoring his parents, unloving, unpeaceful. He loved us above himself. He was selfless, going to the cross for us. He honored and obeyed his parents, his human parents, as well as his heavenly Father. He was always thankful, holy, loving, forgiving, self-controlled, peaceful, lover of the good, a lover of God, not pleasure, being in the form of God and not denying its power, but demonstrating its power by going to the cross and taking away our sins, demonstrating the power of God by rising from the dead, demonstrating the power of God's word to forgive us. Just the opposite of the pattern of the world. And that pattern can be many things to us. It can be a reminder to you and me of our sin. It is a reminder to us of what God wants us all to be. And it is a reminder of what Jesus was, in fact, perfect, actively keeping the law on our behalf when we have not, and taking all of our sins to Calvary. This is the message, then, about Jesus Christ that you and I were baptized into and instructed about through God's holy precious word and catechism. That's where we need to go back to. Many of us have known this message since childhood, just like Timothy, and we need to remind ourselves to continue in the same word. You know how hard it is to keep New Year's resolutions. How much the more harder is it to continue to keep in that word, and yet we ought to be doing it every day. The Holy Scriptures are able to make us wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Am I continuing in this wisdom or something else? And the answer is, we're continuing in this wisdom that God has given to us. In a few moments, we're all going to walk out that door. We're going to walk out and into the future moving vista of our lives, and we're going to see before us snow and ice, more snow, dark ice, more snow. But what God wants us to hold in front of our eyes is, in that vista of our lives, wherever it takes us, is the image of Christ and the faith that he has given us, with that clear, warm message about God's love. Today's message from Paul is about continuing in the Word in order to find freedom and salvation. And this echoes then the message in conclusion. of our Lord himself, who said it first in John's Gospel when he wrote, "If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And it will make you free 24 hours a day for the rest of the season of your life." Amen. Let us pray. Julian Nowacki, grandfather of Renee Nowacki, was recently hospitalized with kidney failure and is very near death, and so we pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we come before you on behalf of your servant, Julian Nowacki. Be with him in this time of great need. Grant him strength through your word, which directs our hearts to Christ, the great physician of our souls. We pray that you would grant wisdom to those who provide him with medical attention. Be with his family as well, and comfort them with your grace. We ask it all in the name of Christ, our Savior. Amen. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Depart in peace. Amen.